Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
I am literally as ready as I'll ever be.
How ready is that?
Not that ready, but I'm not going to do any more preparation.
Someone asking for someone to do like a podcast of reviews of the week's best tweets or something? Did you ask someone to do that? Did someone ask someone to do that?
I want someone to do a podcast that reads through all the Twitter threads that I can't be bothered reading through.
Right.
You know, when someone like posts like 25 really interesting tweets in a row, kind of worth reading, but then there's a lot of them and sometimes they don't thread properly.
Yeah.
I want someone to solve that for me. I won't listen to the podcast because I can barely listen to the few I listen to at the moment. I'm not about to listen to a podcast of people reading Twitter threads, but, it's a great plan.
You know what makes a big difference to being able to listen through the podcasts that you want to listen to?
Having time to listen to them?
That is one thing, but you make time by listening on, 1.6 times.
Yeah, I definitely could.
Or more, or even higher. Like, for Hardcore History, I think that dude, Dan Carlin, he talks so slow. He's got such long pauses that you can listen through it about 2 times, which means that his latest episode only takes 3 hours.
I saw your tweet about that.
And people said that Discourse was too long when it was like an hour.
I enjoy it, unfolding at the pace it unfolds in most cases.
Yeah.
But it's just I don't have a lot of listening time available.
Well, the second thing is, if there's a podcast that you're not into anymore, stop listening to it.
Yeah, I have. There's only a few that I listen to regularly. And there's a bunch I download and they just age out after a while if I don't add them to my playlist.
Yeah.
So every now and again, I'll look at them. And if I run out, I'll have a squiz through what I've downloaded. But it's only a few that I listen to, religiously.
Religiously?
Yeah, which is to say, on my knees with my hands clasped in front of me.
I'm going
to
say one is The Dollop.
I listen to The Dollop very frequently.
Have you secured tickets to the Auckland Dollop?
Yep.
You're going to go and fanboy out?
Yep, very much.
So, great show. So Ben got really angry after he listened to the last episode when we were talking, I guess, about the Greens, and I can't...
So he says.
I can't... Yeah. I can't remember what the thing was that he had seemingly had.
It was about our hot takes on Materia's culpability in her own downfall.
Oh, she was 100%. It was all her own fault. It was a foot shot.
Yeah. Shall we do it? Are we doing a show now?
Look,
this doesn't feel like a show.
It doesn't feel like a show, but the number of the notes that I've made for this episode, we've already covered off the first thing. How angry is Ben with us being wrong in 6:05?
Guess we'll never know. Didn't turn up.
Guess we'll never know. That's a shame. That's too bad. We won't get all the breathing noises. That we may have wanted. We'll get your fan noises in the background.
Yeah, pretty noisy room. Very small, very hard surfaces. Terrible room for doing podcasts in, but here I am.
Yeah. Once upon a time, it was said, I think, quite fairly, that our production values were pretty good, but not really anymore.
Yeah, these things change.
Yeah.
I could hang up a drape in the back of this room, it would probably make a huge difference, but that hasn't happened.
You're not going to do that?
Don't think so.
No. So 48 Hours was last weekend.
Yeah.
Sounds like you cut it pretty close to the line, getting your final cut
55
in.
55 seconds to go, I think, was our official.
Far out.
Right around there anyway, under a minute.
So we both did Ultra, and when we spoke last time, I don't know. Wait, did we know about Ultra when we spoke last time?
Yep, I don't think we knew. I don't think we bothered to try and imagine what additional challenges the Ultra 48 would entail.
What it turned out to be was very obvious and also not something that had occurred to me, which was that we had to make a sequel of one of our previous 48 Hours shorts.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a fantastic twist.
I thought that there were a lot of great twists, actually, this year. Number one, requiring that the required character be a female.
Yeah, well, there wasn't like a character and she was a female. It was just the character was a female.
Yeah, and the trait was she's female.
So we just got a guy and put him in a dress. We didn't.
I don't believe you.
People did.
Yeah.
And they got real shitty when the 48 Hours Facebook account suggested that they maybe shouldn't.
Yep. Yeah, there were people being real babies about it. There, I mean, I was so excited when I saw it. I squeezed Selena even more than I usually do. I do a lot of squeezing when we're watching like movies and stuff because it's like, did you see that? Did you see that? I agree with that. I think that's right. That's good. That's good. I do that kind of squeezing. I think it's very annoying. I imagine that I have this Morse code thing sorted out, and what she actually gets is just like a squeeze on the knee.
Incoherent. Squeezing
and totally incoherent.
Yeah, I made some sort of positive exclamation when that came out as well. I can't remember what it was.
I'm stoked because it has been a very boy's own sort of a thing actually, 48 Hours, for a long time.
It certainly can tend that way,
and there are people that bitch about there being an award for best female director. They're like, why isn't there an award for best male director? And it's because fuckface, hypothetical fuckface that I just made up, but there are like, how many people in the 48 Hours community? 20,000 people?
Oh, shit tons.
8,000 of them think that. There are a lot of dumb boys who don't understand the purpose of positive discrimination.
Yes, and it's not even positive discrimination because it's not like there is no award for guys to win. It's just an award to encourage more women to participate in that way.
Should I get in touch with 48 Hours and stump up some cash for a best woman? Best overall woman, Auckland? I think that would be funny as shit. That would be funny as shit. Just best woman. Not at any particular role. Like, it might be best editing woman, best acting woman, best directing woman. Would that be funny? Give Timson a
call. Make it happen.
I think I should do that. I don't know how much I can stomach stumping up and yet not kind of being insulting. How about if I do best woman and it's like $250, and if I do best man it's 75 cents.
Competition's tight for that best man role. It was interesting though. They in the wrap up form this year, it asked about the gender of various key roles, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. And the ethnicity.
And the ethnicity, which is, I assume, for statistical purposes, so they can figure out who the hell's actually taking part in this thing.
They also asked for the average age, and I was like, if I put down the average age of my team, it's 27, but that's because like one of the key roles is played by a 3-year-old.
Yeah, that threw us off the average a wee bit.
I thought it was a real shame and totally expected that there were people crying about that female thing.
Absolutely.
People have got to get over it. Because, you know, it's women are like 52% of the people in our community, in our society. But they're not necessarily 52% of, and you know, if everything was representative, that'd be 52% of every community, you know, every subgroup. But they're not. And lots, they are tiny, like in the directorships and so on, and board memberships and directorships of companies, but also in directors of movies and so on, they're also underrepresented, and they have their own stories to tell. And stories about us to tell, and they don't necessarily get to do it, and it's because of all these silly boys' own things, all these things that make them unwelcome by, like, dumb idiots like me making 48 Hours shorts and putting a rape in them, didn't know any better. I thought it was kind of a new thing. I guess I hadn't watched enough 48 Hours shorts, so I didn't know that there were other teams that literally only existed to make a rape short every single year. And when I discovered that, I was like, holy shit, I've made a really terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Anyway. And when it was playing at our heat and I heard a female voice behind me just in the pretty much silent theater because no one was into my movie, she just said, "Oh no." And it was like, I've really fucked this up very badly.
We'll call that a teachable moment.
It certainly was. And what a mistake.
There was Dr. Jess Berenson-Shaw released a post or posted on Spinoff today about a recent study in pay gap, gender pay gap.
Yeah. And, did it find that it doesn't exist?
No, it didn't find that.
No. Oh, that's a surprise.
Yeah, and then she got a lot of extremely predictable tweets from people.
Yeah. You know the best starting position to take when a woman tells you something, especially like scientist/doctor/ just an expert in their field. The best starting position to take is that they don't know what they're talking about and they're talking about rubbish and that's not even a thing. That's the best starting position, according to a lot of men.
Especially when you have no first-hand experience in the nature of the thing that's being discussed, let alone have any study of said discussion area.
Yeah.
Like I thought about it. I don't know for sure whether or not I know any women who earn as much as their male counterparts, like personally.
Yeah.
A friend of mine literally took over the job of a colleague when he left, doing exactly the same job. So she was essentially promoted into his role when he left. And it took her 7 years to get to the same salary that he was on when he left.
She is substantially
better at her job than he was.
Sorry, how many years?
Seven.
7 years.
7 years before she reached the salary position that he was at after having worked at the company only 4 years. So she was at the company.
And that's 7 years of inflation later as well. So when she reached that number level.
No, that was just the numeric amount. Yeah.
It was worthless by the time she got there.
Yeah, and she'd been working there for 10 whole years at the company by that point.
Right. The really terrible thing, like it's not that it's not terrible enough, but the really terrible thing is that in my experience, generally, men and women aren't equally good at doing jobs. In my general experience, women are better at doing their jobs. Obviously, of course, there are exceptions, but in general, women seem to be better, more fastidious and studious at doing work than men are. So it should be totally the other way around, and it's just so bizarre.
I don't think I disagree with that. In my personal experience, I think that's probably true.
There's a lot of just useless men who fall into, you know, the important roles, and then it seems like it's only sort of been happening. It's like they've only kind of women have only caught up in numbers over the last decade or two in a lot of professions, even maybe more recently than that. But you look at law and medicine and so on. You look at the number of graduates, look at the tertiary qualifications and so on. Women are so far and away better qualified as a group than men. The number of graduates we've got from medicine and law and so on is just unbelievably skewed towards female now.
Yeah, well, I hope they start earning more.
Me too. Well, I hope all of us start earning more, but I hope that because we're generally, I think, pretty underpaid as a country, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we could all earn more, that'd be fantastic.
That'd be great. But as we all earn more somehow by making a cleaner country with a smarter economy and exporting more sensible things than, you know, raw wood and milk powder, maybe we could even things out a bit at the same time. That'd be great.
Well, actually, we could all earn more if we paid less tax. Vote ACT.
Okay. And then if you get sick, what? Do you still have hospitals if you pay less tax? Do you have schools for your kids?
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Do you have to have a private road for driving?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Private partnerships.
Okay. We'll close all the libraries, number one.
Yeah, books are dumb.
All of the parks get great big walls put around them.
Oh, no, the walls are too expensive. We can't afford to build them.
Okay, we'll just pave over all the parks. Oh, will we leave them alone? But that's a resource that shouldn't be untapped.
You're right. We'll probably just sell them.
Yeah, sell all the parks. Sell all the beaches. Don't want the hoi... Oh,
sounding great.
Don't want the hoi polloi around when you can have only the hoi oligoi, right?
Excellent. Well, we solved this.
Easy. Man, the country is going to be so sweet.
I'm pretty happy about that for my extra $120 a fortnight.
Is that how much ACT are promising you if they get
I have no freaking idea. I don't know how much more ACT would give me, and I don't know how much more labour would cost me, and I don't care. Like, I'm not looking at it from that point of view.
Yeah. There's so many more important things than a few extra dollars a week for people who are already all right.
I would like to have more money, but I don't
I would like it if you could have a house. It'd be great if you could have a house, Dylan. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way...
You need a lot more money for that.
That's right. And that's because the housing market is broken, not because you don't earn a bunch.
I try.
Yeah. So, lipstick on a pig.
Oh, fuck.
That's one that I had to dip out of that argument on Twitter very quickly, because I found myself agreeing with Gareth Morgan that he hadn't used it in kind of a gendered sense, and that actually Jacinda Ardern does have to prove that she is not just a, you know, changing the person at the top without changing the party. But then there were all these meatheads arguing that it didn't mean anything. And there were all these very sincere people being like, actually, I'm pretty upset about this. And I was like, oh, man, this is bullshit. There's no way to win at this one, because I want to be right on the internet. And I think there are some people who are being a bit wrong on the internet. But getting into this argument, there's just going to be no winners.
You're right, though. I mean, in the sense, I'm sure he didn't intentionally use it in that way. But it was very predictably interpreted in that way. And he... when it was interpreted that way, didn't, you know, issue a mea culpa and say, I'm sorry, it would, you know, wasn't how I intended that to be received.
Yeah, instead he said, you guys are all fucking idiots. And I said lipstick on a pig because it's true, but it's not because she's a woman.
Yeah, he just doubled down.
You morons!
And then he and his PR guy just basically started harassing people on the internet about it. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So that was frustrating for me. It's not the first time that I've found myself being on the unpopular side of things about him, because I agreed with him about cats. There's crazy people who like to pretend that cats don't do terrible damage to, New Zealand's native species of small birds and little other little wildlife, non-native mammals and so on, you know, other little things, and lizards and, you know, other stuff that I think is more important to our ecosystem, our very special fragile ecosystem. Not the little mammals, not the little introduced mammals. The cats can get as many of them as they like, but that is not very selective. I found myself like with people saying, you want to kill my family cat? And I was like, I don't want to kill any cats. I just think you shouldn't replace your cat when it dies. And they're like, how dare you? And it's like, oh man. There's so many crazy people around. Just if you live next to a national park or a wildlife reserve or whatnot, don't have a fucking cat. It's real simple. And if you've got a cat now, when it dies, don't replace it. No one's going to try and kill your stupid, murderous little fucking cat.
I don't know. Gareth Morgan might. I hear he hunts cats.
And some cats actually should be hunted.
It's astonishing to me. Like he seems obsessed by this idea that... Morgan seems obsessed by this idea that personality isn't important in politics.
He wishes, because his personality is the worst.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, you can have good reasons for certain policy, but if you can't express them in a way that doesn't alienate large groups of people, then what's the fucking point?
I guess the thing is, he knows that he can drive like 94% of the population away. As long as he pulls, you know, that over 5% towards him, then he wins, you know, because he really desperately wants to get into parliament. But he hasn't been behaving. What?
He doesn't. Well, he personally doesn't. He wants his party to be in parliament, but he doesn't want to go
into
parliament.
That's what I mean. Well, it's the Gareth Morgan party, isn't it?
But didn't he say he's not going to go? Didn't he put himself down the list or something? Or I don't know. He's not going to enter parliament unless he gets more than 10%. Some stupid thing like that.
That would be optimistic, wouldn't it? 10%.
Fuck yes.
It's very.
Oh, it's easy for a party like the Opportunities Party to make whatever policy positions they want because they know there's essentially zero chance that they ever have to deliver on them.
Yeah.
So you can claim it's about policy as much as you want when you don't have to actually deliver policy. On the flip side of this is National, who have had what? How many years is it now? 9?
Yeah.
12?
9.
They've had 9 years to do basically whatever the fuck they want. And now they're coming out with all these fantastic ideas.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you could have done those. There's like, no one's been stopping you, really. Like, oh, I know, let's have 22 weeks of paid parental leave and free dental for pregnant people. It's like, well, that was something you could have done.
You don't need to
before.
Wait for an election to suggest that if you are the actual government.
Yeah, in fact, you got a month. You might even be able, when do they break? They must break soon.
Yeah, I don't know. They've already broken.
Oh, have they? Oh, they don't have a month now. But regardless, they could have done it. Or they could have just not vetoed Labour's attempt to do some of it.
On their site, I'm trying to find their list.
I very sagely tweeted today that all political parties make policy promises that some of which they won't be able to deliver on, but only one political party has had years to actually deliver on whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I think if you are the incumbent government, you need to do more. Oh, also, I found a real genuine New Zealand Pepe today.
Sorry, I'm just trying to figure out from their bloody website. I just want to see a post on the site, maybe on the candidates page, that says, this is our list in this order.
I don't think any of the parties have announced their lists yet.
New Zealand First have.
Have they? Oh, yeah, it came out today.
Green Party did.
Right.
They had to change it.
Yeah.
Because they shot themselves in the foot. Ben. Hey, Ben, you're in the car, right? And you're raging right now. Ben, you could have been on the show shouting at us in person, mate.
Oh, what about Winston?
What about Winston?
What was it? Scandal of the...
Mother of all scandals.
Mother of all scandals. Didn't seem like it. But it's gotten more interesting since it first came out. Like, what I don't understand, though, right, so, like, I'm assuming it's basically nothing. Because you okay, when it first came out, it was like, Winston received overpayments on his superannuation and has repaid them.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, it was a screw-up. But then he goes out of his way to be as cagey as possible in interviews about it. So you're like, oh, all right, this is something else. And then suddenly... maybe the national government leaked it and they were the ones. But what I don't get is why, given he knew that this had happened and knew that there was a fairly good likelihood that it would come out, like he said that he made sure he paid it as soon as possible because he knew the media and political enemies would make the most of it.
Yeah.
Why did he wait until he knew a story was about to be published before making a statement about it? He could have owned it. If he'd come out proactively... With you know, and come out with information that answered the questions that people were going to ask, like, how much were you overpaid by? How did this mistake happen? Then he neuters the whole thing.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. Instead, he said as little as possible and had weird protracted arguments with television and radio presenters, interviewers, about how much he paid and how the incident happened and now people are desperate to know. So bizarre.
He made it suspicious, didn't he?
He made it really suspicious. And to the extent that I didn't hear the Radio New Zealand interview, but on the TVNZ one with Jack Tame, he was essentially saying that it would be illegal for him to disclose how much he paid.
Bullshit.
Well, of course bullshit. It would be illegal for the MSD to say how much he'd been overpaid, but he can waive his privacy whenever the fuck he wants. Very strange.
All right. A day ago, Gareth Morgan released a party list. Why are they hiding their list? So this is on Stuff. Come on, you shit. All right. So someone called Moore is number three. There's another deputy leader. Why? Called Teresa Moore. Right. And she's number three. Right. So, and it says, okay, so she's number three on the list behind Morgan and Simmons. So Gareth Morgan is either one or two.
So,
yeah, Gareth Morgan is number one on the list.
So what was his bullshit about not entering Parliament if he gets 10%? Is he just not going to take his seats?
Maybe he thinks that it's a sweetener to the electorate to give them more votes, because it's like people are so desperate to see him in Parliament. And he would just like resign his list position and the next person would pop in if he didn't get 10%. Which, I mean, it seems like it wouldn't be true. Like here, if they got one electorate and 1%, they would get, or one electorate and 1 point. What do you need to have someone pulled in off the list, like 1.6% or 2% or something?
It'll depend a little bit on what everyone else gets, but it's usually around there.
It's true. Like he'd take it, wouldn't he? I feel like that's rubbish. Like, why would you go to all this trouble if you didn't want to actually be in Parliament? Open yourself up to this ridicule. I mean, he's ridiculous, and so of course he's ridiculed. It's all a shame because he seems very clever, and you know, like I said, I agreed with him on a couple of key things that other people have disagreed with him. It's tough. Lipstick on a pig, though, it just doesn't seem like it should be very controversial.
But the weird thing is, he's just doubled down on it so hard. People have said this is, you know, we think this is offensive, and so he's got fucking billboards with it on.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? What are you appealing to with that?
What that is that the problem for little parties is to be noticed at all, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not too much trouble with him.
Well, that's right, and that's why they've got, you know, somewhere they float between like 1% and 3%, or maybe even slightly higher, depending on the vagaries of each of the different polls that they've been included in.
Here's the article I was thinking of. Yeah. Oh, actually, that's ages old, though. It's from March. Gareth Morgan rules out Parliament unless Opportunities Party gets 10% of the vote.
Right.
It's from, March this year. So wow. I don't know, I guess that's out of question, is no longer relevant.
I mean, the real thing, of course, is that they're ruled out from Parliament unless they get 5%. So he wasn't that far off. I mean, you know, somewhat less than an order of magnitude, isn't it? So that's pretty good for an economist for a first run.
Yes. I kind of think there's a sense I assume he doesn't really want the job.
Yeah. I think it's more fun just being a rich guy.
I think so. It seems like a bit too much work.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not a small amount of work.
Some of them don't do very much to be in there, but I think being a small party, I think David Seymour gets around quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know how much is working. I don't know how it takes a lot of time, even if you're maybe not being very effective, I think.
Yeah, being a backbencher in a large party, I think you can be lazy. I think you can be a real slack-ass.
Yeah, maybe. Guess I'll never know.
You're not interested?
Don't think so.
Never going to try? Who would you even, have you ever been a member of a party?
I think I might be a member of the civilian party. I can't remember. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, did I join the civilian party when they were being all funny last election?
Mm.
So maybe.
What's that guy's name?
Not sure. Ben Uffendell.
Yeah, he's a dickhead. So Shane Jones is notoriously lazy. And he was a Labour guy, and now he's a New Zealand First guy.
Just takes practice.
Yeah.
I think the
right things to do, the right things where there's definitely going to be a camera. Only do the things.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think even being lazy as an MP is probably still quite a difficult job.
Yeah. There's a lot of reading. Other people's private business. It turns out, if you're a gnat. Yeah, and they some of their paid mouthpieces, like Hooten and a couple of other people, made references to the line in National now being that it was someone in a call center and they are Green Party allied. And it's like, show some fucking evidence. Because you know who's got form for releasing private information? It's some National Party front benches have form for doing that, motherfucker. Not some low-level minimum wage call center, unnamed call center person that you've just pulled out of your ass. Have some class.
Well, I mean, they can too, but like the interesting thing about it to me is he was going quite hard on National to start with. He seemed to have turned on them quite hard about this idea of possible National ministers leaking Winston's information.
Yeah.
But then he seems quite satisfied to now believe that it was perhaps a Green allied lowly MSD employee.
Yeah.
Hope it wasn't.
I also hope it wasn't, but and everyone who touches people's private information, just you've got to have better judgment. And especially if you're a government minister, especially then, because you should, in theory, you should be a pretty competent, pretty smart person.
I have no sympathy for those people, but I know that especially younger people in places, they can get just a little bit carried away with what they feel are some important ethics that in fact are very unethical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to get.
You're not a whistleblower when you leak someone's personal information.
Yeah. You're a whistleblower when you talk about a company leaking someone's personal information.
Yes.
Yeah. You're just a rat if you're leaking a senior citizen's private details. Is it good judgment of Winston Peters to be taking the money in the first place? Because, I mean, he still has a very high-paying party leader job, which pays, what, $200,000 a year-ish, I think?
I guess. I mean, I honestly couldn't. I think people...
He's entitled to it, but is it good judgment to take it, even if though you're entitled to it?
I don't know. I'd be interested to know what other eligible MPs do.
Yeah.
But I don't immediately see a problem with it. I don't have a problem with people taking their entitlements, even in that scenario. I'm sure there's no shortage of, millionaire CEOs that still sign on for their super. Why not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I think they just shouldn't.
They probably shouldn't, but I'm sure they do.
It's a bit gross. Like, it's...
It would be better if you didn't have to. No, you don't. Like, it's a universal benefit if you literally just got it.
Yeah.
And then it stops being an issue about whether or not it's right. It's just, you know, you just do it. Donate it all to charity if you think that's the proper thing to do.
A child struck by a reversing car has sparked police to remind drivers to take extra care around driveways and footpaths.
Was this child belong to the place where the car was?
Nope.
Oh,
3-year-old was riding a bicycle on a footpath with her parents walking behind her when she was hit by a car in Napier on Saturday morning. The parents spotted the car reversing from a driveway and managed to slow the driver down. However, he didn't have enough time to completely stop. I don't understand how that's possible. Like, how hard were you reversing that you couldn't just stop?
That's terrifying. I can't, what was it like? Was he going to do a J turn onto the road?
Some people drive like meatheads. Luckily, it's a shame Ben's not here. Luckily, the child was wearing a helmet.
Good.
And only received minor scrapes and bruises.
There were two incidents when I was a kid. When I was living on the North Shore, there were two incidents in a space of a reasonably short time. In my memory, it's like a few weeks, but it could very well have been, months. But there were two incidents of children in the general area, the East Coast Bays area where I live, being killed by their parents reversing cars.
Yeah.
One was crushed against a garage door and the other was, I think, run over while grabbing something from a driveway.
Crushed against a garage door? How the hell?
I don't know.
So last time we spoke about this, I suggested that people should back into their driveways so they can drive forward out of them. And I still think that that's a much safer way to do it. You disagreed with me then. Maybe you've thought about it some more.
Did I? I don't remember. I know, it can be difficult in some some houses. But I mean, I always drive forward into my driveway and forward out of my driveway. That's just how considerate I am.
Have you got a U-shaped driveway?
No, but there's enough room to turn around.
That turning around, that sounds dangerous. Is that like?
I suppose it would be.
Is that like a three-point turn?
Yeah, it is in fact a three-point turn. That's correct.
It's a lot of opportunities for one of your beloved children to get under the wheels.
Like I said, I have spares.
And you've got two you like. You've just got to make sure that the one you're not quite so into is the one that does silly things on the driveway.
Yeah, but even then, I'd still have one I like.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's very upsetting thinking about just how unnecessary and silly some of these accidents are. Just cars going too fast in places with really bad visibility. Like driving up, there was one terrible one a few months ago. Driving up one of those very long country driveways.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds like they were just going fast up the driveway and the excited kid ran out to greet them and just got mowed down and killed. And it's like, why are you going so fast up a driveway when there are children around?
People get carried away. Do you ever have those moments in a car where you sort of snap back for a second and realize you've not been focusing fully?
That you've been on autopilot?
Yeah, and just like even, like I had one, I don't know, a week or so ago where I was driving down the street and suddenly I was like, shit, that car in front of me is parked.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just hadn't, you know, I noticed it with plenty of time to spare, but I just, it's that sort of moment where you're like, oh God, I should have not even, this shouldn't be a sudden realization I'm making.
Yeah.
So you get, especially if you're driving the same route or it's a really familiar place, you just kind of get into it.
Yeah. Not exactly as you describe it, but for sure I realize I've been on autopilot and I couldn't really explain everything that's happened over the last couple of minutes or, you know.
Well, then there's those times when you drive, you know, home from work or whatever and you're like, oh, I have literally no recollection of that journey.
I don't think that, I'm not talking about driving tired, but.
No, not even driving tired, but just like it's such a rote activity.
Yeah. I don't think, unless you're talking about like. Either tired or distracted. If you're talking about just like driving and watching the road, but kind of going onto autopilot, I don't know that that's actually a dangerous way to drive. Because like you said, snap back from it. And if there'd been a pedestrian or whatnot in the middle of the road, I bet that you would have, you know, come back from the flow that you were in or whatever. I don't think it's necessarily dangerous. And
it's not necessarily. I just think that what happens is people get complacent about especially about drives they're very familiar with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you talk about a long country driveway, if it's like a family that you, if it's your home or a family that you visit, you know, family member that you visit a lot, you know, you just get used to driving it. You just get used to a certain way of driving it. And then,
yeah.
You know, it's always been fine. So you don't think about the fact that it's not actually.
It's not fine. Safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If
I have an immense, like, I know at least one of the cases I mentioned in the East Coast Bays when I was a kid, I know the parent, was prosecuted. And I'm like, I understand, this is thinking back on it, but I understand. But at the same time, like, you know, Christ. Like, it just, it sort of seems to serve no purpose.
What if it wasn't their own child that they ran over?
Well, in those cases, it was. I mean, I think in certain circumstances you, like, fuck.
I actually think that people should be prosecuted more seriously for driving offences.
In a lot of cases, for
it
sure.
It seems like people get off extremely lightly. Like, there are a lot of people who are killers who spend little or no time in prison, and they should spend a decade or more in prison.
Yeah, if you kill someone with a 1.5-ton piece of metal, it is certainly not as bad as like if you did it with a knife.
Yeah, yeah, and it could even be intentional.
Or negligent, very negligent, you know.
And
if you ran around blindfolded with a knife and killed some people, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't get off as lightly as if you
drove a car blindfolded
driving. And
oh no, I'm not talking about falling asleep, but like no, but people like, actually, you know, driving like. Like not just accidents, but people being reckless.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The thing is that, like, if the courts aren't seen to be taking things seriously, then I can imagine, you know, entering a situation where the community started to take over, and that would be terrible. Like, if, like, I hate to talk, you know, too personally about this stuff, but like, if someone ran over my kid and they weren't treated seriously enough by the courts, I would probably kill them. And if this never comes to pass, so do I.
Because I don't think they'll do any good for anyone.
No, but if it's not taken seriously, and it seems like they're not taking, like, people on bicycles and stuff get killed by bad drivers. Thankfully, I haven't heard about too many recently, but they for a while there, it seemed like it was happening every week. Some dumb shit driver putting on their lipstick or sending texts or whatever the fuck, and they're mowing down bicycles every week. And it's like, if you don't take that seriously, then, you know, you're going to get whatever. You're going to get worse road rage or who knows what. Because, like, if no one else is, if your community isn't taking it seriously, then I think you have to take it, you maybe are driven to take it seriously yourself. Like, if you don't think, if you've just seen your mates get mowed down by someone, because, like, one of them was down on Merrill Drive, and there were, like, 3 or 5 or 6 bicyclists taken down by one commuter who just said that they didn't see them. I don't understand how you can not see that many people riding. That's a very visible group, right? Like, if you had just seen that happen to half a dozen of your mates, and you knew that nothing was going to happen to that person, and you're there, and you're a angry young person, you know, high on adrenaline or whatever, who's to say you don't snap if you think that nothing's going to happen otherwise? It's got to be taken seriously.
No, I agree.
And that, unfortunately, I think has to mean charges being laid against people where they're never going to be able to do the same thing again, you know, because they maybe don't have another kid to kill. It's the same with drunk drivers who, like, get their license back. You know, people who get drunk repeatedly, lose their license repeatedly, get drunk again and kill someone and spend, like, maybe 18 months or 4 years in prison. And then they get out of prison and they get their licenses back.
It's amazing. Like, you watch those,
what,
you know, motorway patrol type shows and things.
How do they get their licenses back? How do they get their licenses back? They should never be allowed to drive again. It's not a right to drive. It's not a right.
I was thinking, I watched Motorway Patrol or Highway Patrol, one of those shows, and cops pull over a guy, and I swear this has happened. I must have seen this story on those types of shows dozens of times. Cops pull over a guy. He's, like, a bit cagey about whether he's allowed to be driving. Turns out he doesn't have a license, or his license is suspended.
Right.
And then, you know, the story, he gets taken off or gets sent off with a fine or whatever it is. And then, you know, the little postscript at the end is like, such and such was convicted of driving without a license and banned from driving for 6 months. And I'm like, he was already banned from driving. That's not a fucking thing.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything, right?
Like, clearly that doesn't mean it, but I don't know how you physically stop someone from driving. But, yeah, I guess you put them in jail at some point.
Well, you can say, we're not banning you from driving for 6 months. We're banning you from driving forever. And whether they drive or not from that point, okay, that's another thing. But why ever let them be? Why ever let them be licensed drivers again if they've just demonstrated time and again that they simply can't be trusted? Take the bus, take the train, walk, get a bicycle, but you go be a passenger, but you just don't get to drive anymore. I mean, there's people who've, like, just, they've killed a bunch of people driving while drunk and just doing totally dangerous, reckless things. Not for the first time. Usually it's the first time they kill them. Most people only kill people in one accident, you know. One crash, I shouldn't call it an accident. And then they get the license back. It just should never happen again. I'm not talking about 3-year bans or 5-year bans. I'm talking about forever. Like, just, you don't ever get to drive again. And if you're lucky, before you die, you're going to have self-driving cars and you won't need a license. You can sit in the fucking back, but you don't get to ever sit in the driver's seat ever again.
Are you recording, by the way?
Obviously, I take this a little bit seriously. I apologize, listeners.
This is fine. I understand completely.
This is fine. This is fine. Man, did you see some of the photos of the Houston flood?
Yeah, amazing and terrible and sad and then sometimes inspiring. But yeah, incredible.
And that's climate change.
Apparently. Ted Cruz doesn't believe in climate change, though.
It doesn't matter if he believes in it or not. This is not magical. This is not an ancient desert spirit. It doesn't have power just because you believe in it. It's happening whether you believe in it or not. And I saw a very interesting chart about the sea surface evaporation at different temperatures. And it was like, holy shit, that goes up a lot. You get a hell of a lot more water in the air when the surface temperature rises a little bit. And guess what we're doing the planet? Guess what we're doing to the planet? We're increasing the surface temperature. Fucking smart. So we're going to just see more and more and more of those. And that's going to be normal somehow. How do you build a city to cater to, like, what was the astronomical amount of water they got in like a day? Just so many months.
Yeah, and especially a city like Houston, which already is built for floods because it's on a floodplain and it's in a desert, and therefore when it rains, water doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, God, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do. And then if you decide for whatever political, ideological reasons to do even less than that.
Well, yeah.
That's what happens. You get catastrophes. Oh, God. Oh, no. And the thing that I read this week, no one should read. I guess what started me off on this, talking about kids and whatnot, and sadness. And, man, I remember I guess on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere years ago, maybe it was even on Discourse, talking about being very frustrated with you because I felt like I was sufficiently empathic to understand stories about, you know, kids being hurt or killed or whatever. And you're like,
oh God, we've had this discussion on Discourse a couple of times.
Right. And you were like, well, no, you don't, before you were can't a parent. Understand until you're a parent. And I was like, get fucked. I am empathic. You can suck my balls. And it turns out it's pretty true, eh? I hope you took my warning for what it was with the story, the very nicely written story about one of the small schools in one of the Japanese tsunamis, the one that took out that power plant, which was like 15 school kids or something died in the tsunami, and 14 of them were in this one school. And it's just like, and it was because there were a bunch of men who wouldn't listen to people saying, you've got to go to higher ground. There was higher ground, like a 4-minute walk away for children. And there were people who were just like, nah, we'll stay here in the schoolyard. And then when people started, like cars driving past, official cars from the council and stuff with loud hailers on their roofs saying, you've got to go to higher ground. And they were like, oh, we'll go over to that traffic island. We'll probably be safe if we go and stand on that traffic island, which was towards the tsunami. And like all these children, and thankfully, I think just about all of the teachers, they just all drowned. And it's just like,
I just don't read stories like that anymore.
Yeah, you can't.
I just don't. I see a headline that tells me something terrible happened to a child or children, and I'm just like, I don't need this in my life.
There aren't enough hammers in the world to take care of all these people, eh? That hurt these kids.
Yeah. But yeah, I find those ones are horrible. But the ones of just horrible accidents or just unavoidable tragedy, I just won't read them anymore. I just don't.
Unavoidable is one thing, but then avoidable but not avoided, that just...
Oh, it just anything. I can't anymore. I just more and more cannot read and take in stories about terrible things happening to children or terrible things happening to parents, you know, of small children and things. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Just makes me feel awful, and me feeling awful about someone else's tragedy that I can't do anything about is, what the fuck is the point of that?
Let's talk about something happier.
Yeah, well, now I feel awful about feeling awful, Morgan.
I apologize.
Oh my God.
I apologize, Dylan.
What's happy then? No pressure, but come on. Trump? Was Trump threatening nuclear war on Twitter the last time we did this?
Yeah, I think we talked about North Korea last time, maybe.
I don't know, but they shot a missile across Japan today, so that'll be fun.
We knew this was going to be a problem. There have been a bunch of times on both the Russian and the American side where it was only the guy at the top that said, no, we're not launching our arsenal. Now, what was the Russian one? I think it was it Brezhnev or someone? And what's it called? It's like the Norwegian weather rocket incident or something. It's called something right. like that. And there was this, you know, it might not have been Norway, but it was one of those Northern European countries. And they launched this rocket. And I think the Russians may even have been warned, but they saw this rocket and they were like, holy shit, this is an attack. We're about to get nuked. We need to launch our nukes. And like the one guy at the top was like, maybe he was drunk. Maybe he was too drunk and he didn't want to answer the phone or who knows what. But it was only thanks to the one guy at the top that there was not, you know, a massive global nuclear conflagration, right?
Well, you have that and you also have the people who are next down from the top who are the people who advise the person at the top about their thoughts, and you want them to be rational human beings who don't want to destroy everyone.
Yeah.
And I assume in the US government that they still are the people who are, but the problem is I no longer think that the person they report to gives a shit about what anyone else says.
Yeah.
Very strange.
You know, JFK did the same thing as well, right? It got really close during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Got really close. And you know, his advisors, the whatever they're called, the Joint Chiefs of Staff or whatever, they're not advisors. They're whatever their role is, their specific role is. They had wanted maybe not a nuclear strike, but an airstrike against Cuba. And he was the guy that was like, nah, how about we don't, hey? How about we don't? But can you imagine Trump being the guy that says, nah? Can you imagine him being the one sane voice in the room?
The only way I can imagine it is if he thought he'd get more praise for saying no than he would for saying yes. It's literally the only... Like, I seriously think his possibly only, but definitely primary motivation is his... You know, is admiration and positive feedback from people he cares about. I don't know. So I think if he thought that he'd be celebrated for saying, you know, for holding off, I think he'd do it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, fuck knows. That dude is out of control.
Oh, Trump looked at the eclipse. That was pretty funny. That was funny as shit, man. That was so funny.
That was amazing on a couple of levels.
One the squint is part of it, right?
But one is the night before, people going, I can't wait to see photos of Trump staring at the sun tomorrow. And he fucking did. And then when he did, there was people posting, like, there was this thing going around. It's like a sneak preview of tonight's, not Hannity, what's the other one?
Fox and Friends? No, that's morning.
No. Fuck, it's not Hannity. It's another little useless, ridiculous sycophant.
Yeah.
Damn it, I can't remember now. Whichever one it was. There was like a preview of him and it was like, you know, such and such stares at the sun. And then he fucking did it. And he called it, not only did he do it, he called it the most impressive thing a president has ever done.
Jesus
Christ. So fucking... Oh my god. I'm going to find it now because it's so stupid.
Unbelievable.
I'm typing, you can hear.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson. That's what it was.
Tucker
Carlson. Trump looking at the eclipse without glasses is perhaps the most impressive thing any president has ever done. He literally said those words.
Fantastic.
Oh, just unbelievably stupid.
Yeah.
Like, staring at the, you know, I'm sure heaps of people squinted at the sun. Like, whatever, it's kind of like a human thing, but like, that he did it, and then that people were like, yes, of course he did it, so fantastic.
And Julian Assange was like, oh, that's safe. It's fine. Yeah, you should do it. It's safe. You should do that.
Julian Assange is
such a dickhead.
Somehow becoming worse.
Oh, man. It's funny that you mentioned sycophants because talk about, I mean, what a doofus. Oh. And there's people, there's like smart people who are totally in his camp and they just love him. And it's like, wow, your hero worship does you no good.
He's never coming out of the embassy. God, imagine what it must be like to work there.
They'd be so tired of him because they know
you. You're just some Ecuadorian diplomat. You know, you got to go to work every day and there's fucking Julian Assange there.
And they must hate him.
Oh, of course they hate him. Like, how could you not hate him?
Because he's a gross sex...
Very hateable.
He's a gross sex pest and they know it.
Yeah.
One thing I did like over the... I mean, I guess it's all kind of... It's blown over for a while now. Was all of the white supremacist stuff that suddenly found that it wasn't welcome on the internet anymore. Like all the payment systems and stuff and web hosts and like Facebook started taking stuff seriously and YouTube started delisting stuff and Twitter basically did jack all because Twitter is the worst company in the world. They suddenly found themselves without a home and it was just so welcome. I loved it. I loved it. Because it's not censorship, right?
I'm just going to go back slightly.
Yes.
So before Tucker Carlson said anything, but after Trump had stared at the sun, there was this meme firing around Twitter and it was like Tucker's thoughts. It was like preview from tonight's Tucker Carlson, Tucker's thoughts. And the first one is, it's good that the president is blind now. Trump's other senses are about to get much stronger. Many blind heroes in literature, e.g. Mr. Magoo. Bats are blind, but they are also very spooky. And then he actually managed to say something that was dumber than that.
Oh, impressive.
Anyway, there you go. That's. But yes, white supremacy. Oh my, did I? I think I mentioned a genuine New Zealand based white supremacist, anti Semite, right wing, alt right, fucking Pepe memed troll tweeted at me today.
Wow.
Yeah, applied to something I tweeted. And then when I blocked him, he then tweeted it tickled. So I blocked him there too. And then he posted like some tweet someone pointed out to me later on that was like, Dylan Reeve transgender homepage here, dylanreeve.com or something. I was like, what the fuck? And then I looked through his timeline and it's he lives in Christchurch apparently, but it's just this cesspool of alt-right, racist, anti-Semitic meme posts.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, people here do that too.
That is very, it's very much a Christchurch thing, isn't it?
Oh, it seems to be. Well, I mean, when I was like, oh, Christchurch. Oh, Christchurch.
Yeah, like since the earthquake, we've given them a free ride on you know, the terrible racism that they exhibited up until the earthquake, right?
Yeah. And we sort of forgot about it.
Yeah. That time is over, Christchurch. No more free hits. No more free hits. You were a shit city before the earthquake, and now you're totally fucked.
Not the best people.
No, not the best. Some, you know, obviously some good people, but not the best. It's too bad Ben's not here because we could talk about the SpaceX spacesuit.
The what?
SpaceX. Space suit.
No, don't know anything about it.
Yeah, see, I can't talk to you about it. I could talk to Ben about it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Dumb.
That's all. That's what's happened.
There has been some scammers going around. I can't really talk to you about scammers because you think people don't need to be warned because everyone already knows about scams.
What? No, what? When have I said that?
You've said that on Discourse previously and it would be a massive pain in the ass for me to have to look it up.
I don't recall saying anything like that. I think people should be warned about scams. I warn people about scams frequently on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
People I know.
I've still never had one of those Microsoft support calls.
How have you... do you have a landline?
No.
They only call landlines.
Ah, okay.
So we moved house. And when we moved, I didn't bother plugging the landline in back in for ages. Like 3 weeks or something. And then I eventually plugged it back in. And like... 25 minutes after I plugged it in, I got a scam tech support phone call.
Oh, gosh.
Like, it was fucking amazing. That tech support thing, though, one of the podcasts I listen to and really enjoy is called Reply All. And just in the last week of July, last 2 weeks of July, they did a two-part episode about those tech support scam calls. And it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend it.
Yeah. I sort of liked Gimlet, I guess, in the startup days. And then they basically changed the format so that it was like heaps worse. And I tried to listen to a couple of their other shows like Science Versus and stuff. And it was just like, they've got a lot of shows and they put a lot of effort in and they're mainly not very good.
I enjoy Reply All. I don't know about the others. I don't think I listen to any of the others frequently.
Yeah.
Long Distance is the name of the show. 102 and 103, two parts. Very, very recommended. Reply All.
Did you do anything different with your 48 hours short this year? Or because you were, I mean, did you take 1 or 2 years off?
Took 2 years off.
2 years off, and you had a smaller team.
I didn't direct.
And, oh, wow. Who directed?
Melanie.
Wow. Woman director. Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, and there was a couple of reasons. One is I didn't really want to.
Yeah.
Second is she was interested in doing it.
Neat.
And the third is that our team ended up being very small and I was the only person on the team who had technical skills to either shoot or edit. So
yeah,
it didn't seem like adding more things to that was a good idea anyway.
Yeah. When I was interested in directing, you told me to eat my own asshole out.
That's not the exact words I used.
It's the message I received.
I'm pretty sure I said, maybe, Morgan, let's talk about it later, and then we just carried on with other things. Like I do with my children now.
Is that your trick, is it?
It's one of them.
Yeah, I'm like, we can do that tomorrow. Man, we can do a lot of things tomorrow.
Yeah, we could go to MoTap, but it's closed now, so we'll have to see if it's open again tomorrow.
Have you got a membership?
I do have a membership.
Always go to MoTap. MoTap
membership's totally worthwhile. Yeah. It's like, not very much. I can't remember how much. It's not very much for a MoTap Mates Pass. And
geez, another reason that it's hard having three kids, dude. Far out. Going to the zoo without a membership. Going to Kelly Tarleton's without a membership.
We've got a zoo membership too, although I think my zoo membership might have expired. I have to re-up it for Christmas.
I think my one has as well.
Kelly Tarleton's
expired. My zoo expired, but my MoTap doesn't expire until next month, October, actually. October, I think.
Cassidy had his birthday party at Kelly Tarleton's. You kind of don't need to go there that often.
Have you been to a Rainbow's End birthday party?
No, I haven't been to Rainbow's End since I was maybe 19.
Your kids are probably... Oh,
my kids have never been to Rainbow's End.
Maybe the youngest one might be into it. Is it called the Kiddie Kingdom?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The kids with a Z Kingdom, maybe? That's a pretty good place for a sort of a 3 to 4-ish-year-old birthday party. Really good rides.
Yeah,
like a surprisingly good coaster.
Right. No, I haven't been to Rainbow's End in just, it must have been since I was 18 or 19.
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't even know what they're now.
5 or 6 years. Wait, how old are you now?
Yeah, something like that. I haven't been to Rainbow's End in almost 20 years.
See, to me, you're because you were the youngest, it seemed like a lot in the iHug days, you know, because you started there when you were like 15 or 16 or something, right?
Yeah.
You still are always the youngest, and for some reason,
I was 15 when I started iHug.
Like the ratio seems to keep getting bigger of how much younger you are, but it's like, it's not how aging works, is it? The ratio keeps getting
smaller. Not really. One of my coworkers, subordinates, I don't know, at work recently turned 21, and I was like, for fuck's sake. And he constantly doesn't get references. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
He did 48 hours on the weekend, and I was like, hey, did you know I was doing this when you were 7?
Yeah.
He's like, oh.
When did we win? 2010?
2008? I think it was 2008.
2008. How old was he?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll never get back to those halcyon days.
I don't know, man. You wait and see my short, bro. It's pretty fucking good.
Did you sequel Ball? I Am Ball?
Yep. Shit, yeah. Well, it was either that or the rape one.
You made the right choice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh, God. I could have done something.
Didn't want to redo Action Manu?
Oh, Action Manu. That was such a mistake that year. Action Manu was great, but the rest of it... The mistake was having, like, four locations that all looked like one location. So we went to all of the trouble and effort of breaking and moving and building in four places. And then having it look like we'd just gone up the hall in the office, and it's just like, oh my God. And it was just all white rooms, all boring white rooms. And like, no, I wrote it by myself. People wanted to help, and I was not very good at accepting their offers of writing help. And they were...
It's like, very hard. And
yeah.
Despite the 13, 48-hour films I've been involved with now, I think 13. Yeah. The writing collaboration part is still one of the parts I find the most difficult.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to know what the right level of collaboration is. Like, at what point you just should tell everyone to fuck off.
Yeah.
And you'll figure it out. Or the other thing that happens, and we've definitely been caught in this in the past, and I hope it wasn't the case this year. It's always hard to know. Immediately afterwards, you get all sorts of weird feelings about what you've made, but definitely been caught in past years about kind of getting stuck on one idea that maybe wasn't the right one.
Yeah, that happened, I think, the last year that I did it with you.
Yeah, and realizing that then you've missed opportunities to come up with better ideas.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest. The problem is you don't know. There's no real... I don't think there's any way to know while you're doing it that you've this is the best idea.
Yeah.
We can stop now. We've reached the best idea. Yeah. Let's work on this one.
I think you're right about having the right people in the room. And you and me and James and maybe Ryan? I think that was actually a pretty good group. I think we bounced. Oh, no, one other person. I think Tama. Was it Tama?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
It was actually a really good group because we were able to give each other a hard time, and we're also able to continue each other's ideas pretty well. But
yeah. I think that's broadly been the case with pretty much everyone I've had involved for the most part. Yeah. But there's always these occasions where
the lighting guy gets involved a little bit too much.
I wasn't really thinking that. But there's occasions where you just kind of like
That was the problem with the year that I think that we put in a lot of effort and made a really nice short that wasn't any good because the central idea was no good. And it was because the guy with the van full of gear was excited about this idea he heard someone pop up. And it should have been one of 20 things that were considered. And it was like the... kind of the first thing, and then we couldn't get past it. We couldn't get away.
Well, that's the thing. It's very easy to get stuck on the first one. It's also very easy for one person who has a really good, even if it is a really good idea in their mind, to get really, really hung up and really like push hard for their idea. But then when it comes time to actually
elucidate,
or to actually kind of create that idea, to figure out how you flesh it out, especially within the constraints that you maybe they then struggle to come up with it, and not everyone else really understands the idea as well as they did.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Yeah. So like sometimes you can have a great concept from someone who then can't necessarily flesh it out, and then not everyone else understands it well enough to do it justice or something. I don't know. Those are the things that I find really complicated about 48 hours. I mean, you know, actually shooting and editing are also difficult, but those are sort of, you know, relatively simple technical hurdles to cross. And you know, any previous experience you have with those two things is applicable.
Yeah.
But no one really has experience with trying to sit down from nothing and come up with a script in, you know,
no, like
5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. A new script, because you... Like, I don't know if you do this, but in advance of the weekend, I always think about, you know, I just come up with ideas. Oh, you know what would be great?
Oh, absolutely.
If I got bloody blah. And I even, you know, I write down those ideas. And you know how many of those I've ever used?
None. Zero.
None at all. When it comes time on the weekend, it's you get a genre and you get these required things and they make you think of something new. And I don't know if you've been paying any attention. I don't know if you've had time to look at the 48 hours forums on the site. Not the
little bit,
Facebook, but the forums. Some people are confused by that. The Facebook is not the forums. I know you know this, Dylan, but other people who are new to 48 hours might not know that. There are people who are like, as soon as it was announced that there was a rule change so that people could use, if they had copyright clearance, they could use footage from outside of the competition, right? And I think this had been announced when we spoke last time, so we've probably already gone over this. And they were like, oh, well, I mean, I've got most of a short from, you know, previously, and I'm pretty sure I could put that together into a new movie, so where's the challenge? And it's like, number one, that's just not true, right? Because the chance that you're going to get a genre, you're going to get a theme and so on, you're going to get all of that stuff, and you're going to actually be able to fit it in, and it's going to be easier than just shooting new stuff to suit it, it's very unlikely. And number two, how, like, do you have that little ambition that you want to cheat a competition, really? It's not really a competition. It's actually an excuse to make a short with your friends, or in my case, with my wife and my son, right?
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. It's a personal challenge because less than 1% of teams are going to win, right? There's even now, it's a smaller competition than it was. It's a smaller challenge than it was. There's a huge number of teams. Some of them are extraordinarily good, and even they don't get to win every time. Some asshole who reckons that he can take some shitty footage from some other unknown short that he has allegedly created and come along and enter that. And will that still be fun? Because the only thing you are guaranteed to get out of the 48 hours competition is the production weekend. That is the only thing you are sure to get. You're short. If you don't get it in on time, might not even get played in a heat, right? Usually they are, but you might not even get played in a heat, let alone make it into your city finals, let alone make it into the national finals, let alone even if you are in one of those finals, get any kind of placing, get any kind of sub prize or whatever. The only thing you get to do for sure is spend time on that weekend, that Friday night writing and Saturday shooting and Sunday editing. That is it.
Yeah.
And you reckon you found a loophole to avoid that? You fucking genius.
No, it's very, very peculiar. Well, the things that people get hung up with. It's yeah. And, you know, in retrospect now, we know that to some extent, that rule was probably put in place with the idea of the sequel thing in mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also because it does, you know, I think it is it was a creative hurdle that made it difficult.
So I had already been using footage from outside of the comp in the form of little special effects elements, right? And so they'd be used as 5% of a front. Oh, yeah, and I did big time still stuff because, like, my I Am Ball short, that was basically all. It's like some of them were photos that I took on my travels around the place, but some of them were like war photos from World War II. Yeah. And that was all legit. It was totally legit. And I, you know, did some various After Effects trickery to do the, what's it called, 2.5D animation, you know, where you kind of split it off into layers and gives you a little bit of parallax effect and you put a little bit of movement in.
Hours of fun.
Oh, my God. And so much puppeting of you know, chopped out people from, like, Barcelona subway stations and stuff. But, like, using all that footage, it requires a hell of the stills, particularly using the footage. I remember a couple of years ago, it must have been the Iron Ball year because it was about a tennis ball that was very excited to be playing at Wimbledon. And they used an establishing shot of an aerial shot of, I guess, Wimbledon at night or some tennis stadium at night. And it was a 2-second shot. I think they used it twice. And it probably comprised half of a percent of their film. And I was furious when I saw it because it was so against the rules. And a bunch of us talked about it in the forums and they were disqualified for it. But and they probably didn't get clearance for that shot. So let's be clear about that. So that still is a good reason to be kicked out of the comp because you need to have very specific rights for the comp to be able to play the shorts without getting in trouble itself. You need to have very specific commercial rights. That should have been allowed if they had permission. It should have been allowed. The short was really good, and all of the difficult stuff was the story that they told, the story that they wrote and shot. The difficult stuff that they did was fine. It was only like the easiest thing that caught them up, and it was a real shame. And so then we had these people in the forums who were like, this competition is over now, blah, blah, blah. Now we're just going to have people cheating by shooting before the weekend. It's like, how can you have participated in this and think that that's actually possible?
Well, and yeah, it's very strange. But like, and that film is a good example of why I thought the rule change was good, is because, you know, without the ability to have an establishing shot of Wimbledon or something, you're reliant on, I don't know, probably whatever banner you could print out on your HP LaserJet at home or whatever it was, and stick up in the background of a shot, and having some stupid expositionary dialogue from someone saying, here we are at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it makes it a better film without just those little shortcuts, or not shortcuts, but those little, you know, like, shorthand that you can do with the right resources. Anyway, fun times. Made a film in 48 hours again. Won't think about it for a while, and then carry on with my life.
I hope people like my short, though. Do you feel that way? I really hope people like my short. I put so much into them.
Yes. I mean, usually the moment I deliver it, I just stop thinking about it. Yeah. Just like, yeah, cool. All right, that happened. And then, you know, maybe I'll think about it again in a while. But I enjoyed making it for the most part.
Yeah.
And then that's gone now. Done.
On Sunday morning, when I went to bed at about 5, and I knew that we were fine. I knew at that point that it had all come together really well. And I knew that there was a pickup shot I needed to get, and there was another effects shot that I needed to make. And so my battery is really low on my MacBook.
It's all right, because we're just about done with this, surely.
Okay. And even though, like, from an early time, and then I went to bed and I slept for about 4 hours and had a shower and had a big coffee, and Selena started working on the score, and I got the pickup shot and started working on my effects, and I was just like, man, this is going so well. The process was great. The music that because we always either do an original song or we do an original score, because Selena's got, you know, the music skills. It was just so nice listening to her working on her composition and grinding away at my shit on this broken ass computer that I was actually, the only thing I was worried about was that it was going to die. And even so, at like 4 p.m., when we had like a safety and so on, I was shaking with this internalized, just this deep anxiety, just this deep stress, just absolutely shaking. It's very hard. And now you know this, having now, I guess, played, this is probably your smallest team year, is it?
Probably.
You really have to put a lot of yourself in when you have a very small team. You know, so...
Yeah, I mean, there's advantages and disadvantages. When you've got a small team...
There's no fighting.
Well... Because often when you have a larger team, you get really conscious about feeling like you're wasting other people's time.
Yeah.
When it's a small team and you're all directly involved, you don't have that concern. Like, if you have a big team and you've got, like, you've roped in a couple of actors for small roles, and then, you know, you've told them to turn up at 10, but it turns out you're not even going to be ready to film their parts until 1.
Yeah.
Like, you feel real shit about that.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll just talk about it again in another year.
Oh, well, or no, we'll probably talk about it next time, because we will have found out by next time probably how things are going. We will have seen each other's shorts. You haven't seen mine and I haven't seen yours, as is compliant with the rules.
And that's correct. Also, unrelated to all of this, but now my next immediate audio-visual project is Discourse Votes. So go to facebook.com/discourse votes.
facebook.com/discourse votes. Also, if you're in Auckland and you want to come and see our shorts, you actually are pretty welcome to, because we've both got small teams and we're entitled to 20 people each. Come to Hollywood Cinema on Friday at 7 p.m. Yeah, on Friday the 1st of September, which is, if you're listening to this on the Thursday it comes out, it's tomorrow. And if you're listening to it on Friday, it's tonight. And if you're listening to it on Saturday, you missed out. Son, you are very welcome to come. Please vote for me, number one, and Dylan, number three, and your actual favorite, number two. Vote for us, one and two, and like the worst movie, number three. you're so welcome to come along, because it's a relatively large cinema considering how few people come to most heats. And Friday, 7 p.m., Hollywood Cinema in Avondale, It's not a convenient location to go to, but you could still...
Very convenient for me.
Very convenient for you. It sucks for Morgan. Sucks. And my wife's in bloody... Well, right now she's in Singapore. By then, she's probably going to be in Paris. I'm going to have exactly one person there from my team, and that's this guy. Even Fox isn't going to come in. He was my main actor, sort of. You'll see. You'll see what that means. So come along. It's actually... It's pretty terrible watching other people's shorts, but we also have, just by chance, the most ambitious heat. We had, I think, 4 or 5 ultra teams. So, and no other heat has that many. Some have as few as 0 ultra teams, I think.
We have 4 ultra teams and one, let's see, I think in there I recognize maybe there's a previous, possibly Grand National winner.
Grand Cheval.
Definitely Auckland winner.
Yeah, Grand Cheval, yeah. The most arrogant team that you will ever encounter, who have never come close to... Oh, their fish movie was all right. But mainly they haven't come close to achieving their first, their we beginner's luck glory. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. The end was ours. It was the end, actually.
Yeah, or maybe Scepter of MacGuffin, if you ask me. We'll see.
No, well, the end did better. Oh, is Scepter of MacGuffin, is that your... did you make a sequel to that?
No. We made a sequel to our... 2014 film about time travel.
Right. Morgan's was that time. Where someone got into a cardboard box?
Yes. And went, woo-woo-woo-woo.
Did it end with him getting in the box and disappearing? And so you've started your new one with him arriving in a place.
We'll have to wait and see.
Okay. Hashtag
no spoilers.
No spoilers. Okay, so if you're listening to this and you're in Auckland and you can get to Avondale at 7 p.m. on Friday, you should come. Just don't talk to us. We're not very good at talking, as you can tell from this terrible state. And I'll probably talk about terrible things that make me sad, just because I think that talking therapy might be the way through them.
Oh, like you could get from Talkspace, Talkspace.com. Something, Talkspace. Something. I don't know. It's an ad on a lot of podcasts to listen to.
Thank you for listening. Thank you very much. The mattress thing and the one with the audio books. And the one with the websites. Yep.
Oh, did you, Squarespace and...
But most Audible. Importantly, most importantly, and actually for real, discourse.co.nz/VPN. It is extremely hard to justify using it now that Netflix detects basically all VPNs. And you can't really use it for Netflix anymore. And, well, I haven't tried for a long time because I've just started using the New Zealand one. And so now, really, you don't have deniability. It's just for that other thing that we're not going to talk about. And gosh, is it good for it?
Righto. Ta-ra.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
Sorry, this show is cancelled. Beep.